Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we are talking about the Valley of Gwangi.
1969.
Oh, I guess it was that late.
It was shot like a couple years before something like that, but it was delayed in its release, essentially, I think.
Have you seen this movie before?
You know, I don't know if I'd seen it straight through. I'd definitely seen parts of it before.
Right. Yeah. I think I've seen it like a long time ago, and the only thing I remember is the cowboys lassoing the dinosaurs.
Right, right.
The rest of it, I don't remember at all. First off, right off the bat, the opening credits, I love the opening credits.
The font?
Not only the font, but like they had those like drawings of dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
cowboys, yeah. But they were like cropped, so you only got little glimpses of
right.
it. Right. As to like not spoil the fact that there's like dinosaurs in it.
Yeah, when the title card came up, the Valley of the Gwangi, and it started all like ribbly.
Yeah.
And just kind of stays for a second. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I was trying to get like a freeze frame because I thought that might be a fun like t-shirt, like just to isolate the writing.
Yeah, it was the writing like really stood out. It was like a bright, it was like a crazy, it was like green and purple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and on the background of like pink and purple, like yeah, it looked cool.
Yeah, I kind of was getting anxious at the beginning of this movie.
Because
it takes about halfway through to get to the Valley of the Gwangi. Now, with like Harryhausen movies, which this is, that's kind of usually the case. You're like, okay, you know, like at least half hour is going to be like something crazy and chock full of action. Like we saw it with the Black Scorpion and the 20 Million Miles to Earth and the Creature from 20,000 Fathoms. I think those are the titles. But they all kind of ended at this big, huge destructive chase. So I'm like, that's cool. But like when I was watching this, I'm like, oh, is this like cowboy stunt show rodeo thing supposed to be keeping my attention until we get to that? Cause I'm not really into it.
Right.
Usually they sprinkle in some stuff earlier, to kind of like the lighthouse scene in the, you know, the Beast from 20,000 Fathoms. Like there's like some sort of thing that keeps you interested in the monster. And like, I do not like rodeos or bullfights. I don't like watching them.
Uh-huh.
They make me anxious and I feel bad for the animals.
Right.
So I'm watching this thing and I'm like, it's making me uneasy.
And this also has like, because this is a fucking Wild West show, so it's right. got like real like bad stereotypes and the depictions of Native Americans. It's very it's troubling to begin with.
Oh, and then even before that, we get what I thought was pirates at the beginning, but they're gypsies. A dude's running for his life with a bag with some sort of like
something's
animal
in it. I thought it was a pig.
I thought it was like a cat or something, and I'm like, oh, I think it's the dinosaur, which later it's the dinosaur, or it's the horse.
The horse, yeah.
But I'm like, I don't feel like the movements of this thing is some sort of contraption they built.
No, I think they put something in a bag. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and he
was like... I
was like,
is that a pig in there? And then I was like, wait, does that pig sound like a horse in there?
Yeah. And then the dude was like falling and like not concerned about the... So I'm already anxious about... The treatment of animals, like, frame one.
Right.
So they have this whole setup with where this, the cowboy stunt show rodeo. They bring in the diving horse.
Right.
And I'm like, I can't watch this. This is going to be, this is going to be too much. And they stretch it out to where like the. Is her name AJ? She's gonna.
Yeah, she gets. CJ? CJ? Which J is it?
She's. And I'm like.
TJ.
TJ. I didn't want to watch a horse jump, and thankfully, it was like a weird stop motion shot of the horse jumping.
Yeah,
off
so,
of the thing. So
I was
like, okay.
I was like, oh no. I thought I got scared because I thought like, oh no, the horse. They made the horse jump, and it looked so bad. They ended up just doing like a version with a fake horse. But they actually thought that it was too dangerous to do the horse dive that way. So they instead, they got the horse to dive, jump off a platform onto a trampoline. And then they also, then they did the version of it that with the puppet. So I don't know exactly how high the trampoline was. Maybe it was like lower. It wasn't like like a big drop. It was just to show the horse get off the platform, because it cuts to the thing, and I was like, "Oh, that, all right." That made me feel so much better immediately.
Yes,
but then I was also like, "How'd they get the horse inside that other inside that thing now that he's all wet?"
Right,
because it's deep. It had to be deep enough to be. And I was like, I don't see like a ramp or a system that gets the horse in and out. And I was like, it was still probably hard on the horse.
Yeah. It definitely put me at ease because there's like some bullfighting stuff in it, but it wasn't like stabbing the bulls, even though that I can't watch. It drives me nuts. So I'm glad they didn't do any of that. I'm like, if there's any bull stabbing, I'm fast forwarding. So luckily that didn't happen. I was so concerned about the animals that the depiction of Native Americans in the show, I was like, okay, that sucks, but seriously, don't hurt any of these animals. So mm-hmm. The whole thing was putting me on edge. But so the actress that plays TJ, Gila Golan, she's Israeli. Did you notice that she was dubbed?
I didn't. Well, no. I mean, I read it in like the trivia.
Because I know her from the movie Our Man Flint. She was in the movie, the James Coburn spy movie. And she's like the lead actress in that film. And she has a very, very thick accent. And like I said, she's Israeli, I believe. They did a number on her dubbing. For sure. Because I got excited when I saw her credit. I'm like, oh, I liked her because she's in that movie I like. And then, she also isn't a redhead. Her hair looked crazy. So she's like a brunette with a Israeli accent. Anyway, it took a while for me to get into the movie. But once you see the tiny horse, I was like, okay, this is the thing we're getting.
Yeah.
Before we get to see all the dinosaurs. I love that tiny horse.
Yeah, me too.
I thought, I feel like they could have done a split screen with the regular size horse.
Uh-huh.
And I know this was supposed to be like a sort of prehistoric horse.
Right.
But it still had the hooves on it. I assumed it was going to have the three toes like the dude mentioned earlier in the movie.
Does
it have the three toes? I was trying to look at it. I thought it just had the hooves.
I mean, it's little. It's hard to like know. But it's like the... it's basically got... like almost like a bird feet without claws kind of thing.
The his little tiny barn with the little tiny horse pen around it.
It's basically like it's basically like a hoof with three sections in it.
You sent me the picture of the model.
Yeah, if you zoom in on the model.
Oh, okay, I see.
It's got. See how it's got like the little like.
Yeah.
Indentations. It's like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it. I liked the little horse. I liked his little setup that she made for him. It's much better than being in a burlap sack with the little, but I just, there's like, it wasn't enough to get me, like, fired up. Because it was just kind of the one scene with the tiny horse. I just wanted to see dinosaurs.
Yeah.
But I feel like I can tell, like, with the movie, like, a lot of it felt like filler. But you can kind of tell, like, once they started heading towards the valley, you knew that from that point on it was going to be, like, a lot going on. And we were, like, halfway through the movie. So it was kind of like a King Kong movie in a sense, where, you know, you have the sort of travel to Skull Island. You know, you have kind of a while to go, but once you get there, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. I really don't have any notes other than up until that point, just the tiny horse.
Well, when I was looking at, like, stuff about it, there was apparently they had this idea. Find that information. This was like this concept came like was from Willis O'Brien.
Oh, really?
But it never happened until this time later.
Like they came like back in the 40s.
Yeah, it was like it wasn't. I don't think it was necessarily this, but like the idea, the sequence of like cowboys and dinosaurs was like this idea they had that was they had a thing they were gonna do was they called it something like cowboys in Africa.
Oh, okay.
Let me get it for you. And that's where the roping. Or maybe it's in that. Maybe it isn't in this particular special effects. Pioneer Willis O'Brien began pre-production at the RKO Pass Studios on a story by Harold Lamb about a huge T-Rex called Guanji, with John Speaks as producer in 1941. It was canceled when studio management changed. But they were working on sequences of cowboys roping animals, and it was a thing that ended up basically being adopted into Son of Kong.
Oh. Okay. I liked the idea of just like the imagery of cowboys and dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Is like the most like 50s sounding thing ever to me. Like kids, like when you see kids and like when they have like a period piece that takes place in the 50s, kids will be dressed as cowboys, and
yes,
I could see them holding dinosaur toys. I like the idea. I don't know if the movie is up my alley, but once they get into the valley, it got way more fun. And I was excited because I only knew about like the T-Rex. I remember only seeing like the cowboys lassoing the T-Rex.
Yeah.
It's like the footage they use for like, you know, generic footage on a television in a movie in like the 80s or something. Like, it's just like they need to put something science fiction-y on a TV in a movie. So it's like, this is the thing you put in is the cowboys and the T-Rex. But our first attack is a purple pterodactyl.
Yeah.
And that caught me off guard, and I was very excited because I'm like, this valley is hidden from the rest of the world. The last thing you expect is something that would be able to like fly over the valley into the, you know, into the rest of the world.
Oh, hang on. Correction. All right. The black and white version of Cowboys in Africa footage was shot and wound up being used in Mighty Joe Young.
Oh. I don't remember that. So I thought the purple pterodactyl was cool until like everything was purple.
That all the dinosaurs are purple?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to think, like, I was, like, watching it, I'm like, why are all the dinosaurs purple? purple. And then I was like, where was this supposed to be, like, black and white? And they need to use, like, that purple so the stop motion stands out in a black and white film.
Was it because it couldn't be blue or green? Because
I don't know. Because later on in the movie, the T-Rex is not purple. It's, like, gray with, like, a red mouth. And I don't know if it's a photography thing, if it's something that happened later, but it's just kind of... Like, I thought the purple pterodactyl was just, like, a cool style choice.
Yeah.
But then everything was purple. And then I was like, oh, is this, like, a special area where this kind of dinosaur evolved? Were they all the same color? It didn't really make sense to me. I didn't care for the purple other stuff. Because it just made it look sort of fake. I mean, I feel like a lot of the comp shots work really well. Like the way the live action is integrated with the stop motion.
Yeah, I had when the Eohippus, is that what it is, got loose. Mm-hmm. And he was like running around where the rocks were. They didn't give him a shadow.
Okay.
Which really kind of made. Really made it look like it was, in a way, not really in the space. Later on, the Guanji had a shadow, and so that worked, but right. They didn't quite get a shadow on this one. I don't know, maybe it was like because it was little, they had to shoot it at a different angle, and they didn't cast a shadow on the ground. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, this kind of looks like it's just on a different plane.
Yeah.
A little more obvious.
Yeah. The pterodactyl was awesome, but then they had
a big one.
They had a big one. Then they had
to wrestle with
the big puppet, but they also had like
the claws
that were clearly hanging from like a crane or something.
Yeah.
I think they really grabbed that kid and hung him off of those claws.
Yeah. Yeah. Poor Lope.
Yeah.
Hanging from the claws. Oh man.
That whole sequence was awesome, and I didn't mind the harming of the, like, he's like trying to break the neck of the pterodactyl, and the pterodactyl keeps like resisting and pushing him off, and I'm like, oh man, is he gonna do it? He's gonna do it. They're all standing around with guns, but that's okay. But that whole puppet looks so cool.
Yeah, I don't even think it's a puppet. I think it's a it's like a rubber giant pterodactyl, and he's got. And all the life the pterodactyl is doing, like there's puppeteers that are moving the wings, but he's got to put all the life in the thing. It's kind of like when you see someone fake wrestle a snake.
Yeah.
And he's just doing it with the big giant pteranodon. Yeah. And it just like yanking. And then, he finally like breaks the neck on it. It's so obviously like. This is a movie for like 14-year-olds,
right?
And it just hits all these marks. Like it's got cowboys being tough and wrestling dinosaurs or so much.
Yeah,
they have names like what are their names? Tuck Kirby and Champ Connors. It's so like masculine,
right?
Did you see the guy drinking out of the water jug that looked like a nipple?
Yes.
By the way, my dog Monkey can't handle on-screen horses.
Really?
If I'm watching something and a dog comes on the screen, a horse comes on the screen, or a bear comes on the screen, she goes nuts. And she barks and she like raises up on her hind legs trying to get a better look at the TV and stuff. And goes crazy. It was she, and there's a lot of horse stuff in this movie.
What about the little horse?
I don't. Well, eventually, before we got to the little horse, Becky ended up taking her into the other room, and she watched something else from that on the TV in there. And then I paused it, and then when I got back to the movie, Monkey was back in the living room, and then it started up again. And so Becky would just kind of like hold her, mm-hmm. and she would kind of like growl under her breath a little bit, but horses on screen, she cannot stand them.
That's hilarious. There's a lot of horses in this movie.
Either that or she's really excited about them, but she just barks and barks. Yeah,
I don't think there's
it's a like single... I like it's fun anytime like a dog food commercial comes on, she'll scream, she'll bark at that, and like I like watching nature shows, and she'll go crazy about everything that comes on.
That's funny. Any reactions to dinosaurs?
It's hard to tell because most of the dinosaurs were surrounded by horses.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes she can tell if a monster growls, she'll start doubts that are off too sometimes. Wow. Like, yeah, like so it's possible, like, you know, the growling of Guanji, and when it's snapping, that could have set her off too. I mean, she went crazy during this whole movie.
Yeah.
Except when we finally took her and put her away.
What about elephant growling?
I don't know if this, actually, I don't even know if she was there when the elephant part happened here in this one. I don't remember now, but I think she might have barked at the elephant in, Behemoth.
The
million
beast, million 20, yeah 20 million miles to Earth.
Yeah. She might have growled at that one.
This is okay. So this is just for me. I put in my notes: pull the elephant sound at 1 hour and 19 minutes, because that elephant sound was hilarious. And I want that to be the screonk at the beginning of this episode.
That's great.
Where it's just like cool. It's obviously a guy going,
one thing I liked is before I knew that the horse was going to dive into the water, that there's be passing her a sign that says Caballo Volador, which means flying horse. And I was like, that's weird. Why would it say that? And then finally, when you see the dive, I was like, oh, okay.
I saw the setup with the barrel and the ramp, and I'm like, oh, they're going to have somebody that, you know, does the high dive into the barrel trick. And I'm like, why do they need such an elaborate ramp? Why don't they just have a ladder? And then it occurred to me as soon as the horse came out, oh, shit. Okay. And I got super anxious because at that point we had already seen all kinds of stuff that was questionable.
Yeah.
For the animal safety. The dinosaurs are all kind of your basic dinosaur. There's nothing like anything too crazy. They're all like T-Rexes and pterodactyls, and then
they're definitely in the top, you know they're the showbiz dinosaur,
right? They're like the best. I mean, sellers.
Technically Guanji's supposed to be, I think, an Allosaurus, although they said that I think it was originally like Willis O'Brien had called all these things an Allosaurus.
Okay.
They said, like, Guanji is described in O'Brien's original script as an Allosaurus, although O'Brien apparently didn't draw much distinction between Allosaurus and a T-Rex, as he also referred to the T-Rex in the original King Kong as an Allosaur.
Huh.
Yeah, and the other one, the
it wasn't a T-Rex.
It's not a Triceratops. It's
yeah, that's what I meant, Triceratops.
It's that other one with the really cool spiky fringe. I don't remember what it's called.
I like the dinosaurs fighting each other.
Yeah, that was a hairy fight.
Yeah, and blood, which is fun. Which is always fun.
Styracosaurus.
There you go.
Styracosaurus.
It made me want to see a remake
of this.
Yeah, like not so much the rodeo stuff, I'm watching it and I'm like, since the '60s and maybe like some of the '70s, they're really, really Jurassic Park is like the only like movie about dinosaurs. Like Peter Jackson's Kong had dinosaurs in it, and there's a lot of dinosaurs in it, but there's never a movie where it's just like about dinosaurs. And, and you would think with Jurassic Park making the money, and they're making another, there's another one coming out, like you would think there would be some sort of a, like Warner Brothers being like, do we have any dinosaur properties? And we're like, well, we have this Guanji movie. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I would like to see an updated version of this, because you can have like more dinosaurs and cool dinosaurs. And even though I wasn't a big fan of the purple, I did like that it kind of made them feel more like fantasy dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Like they weren't like, they obviously weren't like realistic dinosaurs. Like they weren't, you know, scientifically accurate. But I think like it would be fun to see a movie with like old school dinosaur drawing dinosaurs.
Yeah.
You know, and
but I don't know, they would make that now,
but you'd have to set it up with the cow ticket, have it take place during cowboy times, so it has that stylized look of like a I don't know, I want more.
Yeah.
I think I want more dinosaur movies, and I don't think in the movies we've watched with dinosaurs in them, I don't think I've found any of them terribly satisfactory
as far as the movies themselves.
Yeah. Like, I don't...
Yeah, it's just the dinosaur sequences are good, but the movie around it isn't enough to make you want to watch it over and over again. Kind of thing.
Right. And
I agree.
And I feel like I want... Like, one of the coolest scenes is the rodeo, or not the rodeo, when they're lassoing the T-Rex.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool. Like, it's shot well.
It's a long segment. They keep dropping the rope and other people picking it up.
Yeah, the integration with the ropes, with the stop motion character and
well
the
done.
Live action.
Yeah.
Like it all works. It all blends really well, but I just want like, I don't know. I feel like Jurassic Park is such a form, has its like formula and it works. I want counter programming for dinosaur movies. And I don't know what it is. I don't want to go as far as to say like caveman. Like I would still want it to be like a fun adventure, but I don't need to.
Yeah.
I need it to be something like another action movie. Like if you have like Indiana Jones versus dinosaurs, like that could be a lot of fun. But I just feel like, I don't know. I wish there was some way that we can distance from Jurassic Park where we can get
period piece
weird.
Dinosaur movie.
Yeah. Or even like a World War II dinosaur movie. Make the dinosaurs look like the drawings from like that era.
Oh, so you're saying, okay, so you're so you're requesting
this is
not just the fact that it's specifically that you want the dinosaurs to look old school.
Right.
So you set the movie in a period of time, basically you want to make a movie from 40 years ago.
Right.
You want basically to make a 40-year-old movie today.
I want it to look like a pulp novel cover.
Yeah.
Where the old-timey guy and the old-timey dinosaur drawings. I don't want these, like, the velociraptors now look, like, scientifically accurate. Like, scientists have said, oh, no, it actually looks like this. None of that. I want the dinosaurs to look how people used to think they look like. I want the T-Rex to be upright with the giant head.
In modern CGI.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be fine with stop motion. I feel like,
well, yeah.
Like when you go on the Disneyland train, I want to see those dinosaurs in a movie.
Come to life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in a movie. Yeah.
They could be
fighting alive.
Yeah. I want to either fighting cowboys or World War II soldiers or something like action heavy. Jungle, palm trees and dinosaurs. This movie didn't have any palm trees in it. It needed palm trees. Like a volcano that's always smoking. I don't know. I guess I'm just gonna have to write it. And then it'll never get made because who wants to see a cowboy dinosaur movie? okay, so the movie when they bring Guan, they call him Guanji, the dinosaur. They bring him in the cage, and that cage breaks apart faster than I think even like the Kong 76 cage. It breaks so fast.
Well, you mean the one on the wagon cage, or you're talking about?
Oh, I'm talking about the show. I forgot about the wagon part. That was cool.
Okay. Yeah, you know what I liked about the wagon is those big wooden wheels.
Yeah, that that see, like, it's imagery like that that I really like cowboys with a giant wagon with a dinosaur in it, like traveling across like the Old West. That's cool. Like that was neat. I like that would be like if I was a kid in the 50s, I'd have that pencil drawing on my wall. Cowboys with a dinosaur in the cart.
Just give it. You know, I wonder if I wonder how many movie clips include basically a T-Rex type of animal fighting a Triceratops type of animal. It's like the legendary dinosaur rivalry,
right,
of all time. It's like it's all I think it's part of it's because like the whatever the Triceratops or similar,
maybe a Stegosaurus,
because they have no, but the thing about the Stegosaurus, like it's the fact that Triceratops and this other guy they have weapons.
Yes.
I guess Stegosaurus probably has those tail spikes.
Yeah.
At best. But the fact that like it's always like kind of it's always a challenge, but they always show them like, they probably didn't ever fight like that because it's much too dangerous.
It's
much too dangerous for a T-Rex to attack a Triceratops from the front.
Right. I always that image of like the Triceratops and the T-Rex circling each other. Their tails are kind of bending around and they're kind of making a circle shape. Like it's a good fight because
it's fun to watch, like, for sure.
Because like the T-Rex is big. It's got the little arms though.
Yes.
And then the Triceratops is short but has the head spikes so it can get in underneath and it's like, "Oh man." Like it's a good matchup.
Yeah, it's a bold fight.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I probably watch. I don't know if I'd watch. Like, if it was real, I don't know if I'd be able to watch that.
I'd love to see, like, a super cut of, like,
T-Rex fight.
Yeah. Of, like, I'm just like, it's kind of like that, that one thing where, it's like that one movie where they showed all the different clips of the old dinosaur movies.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We're like, that's something my favorite part of this movie.
Yeah, yeah. I bet you there is. If not, it'll be easy to make. But yeah, I don't know. The fight was great, and there was blood, which was awesome.
Yeah, and it's 60s blood, so it's really red.
Yeah, and which when I saw the red blood, I'm like, oh well, maybe the dinosaurs are supposed to be purple, because it felt like the red was the correct color. I don't know. I don't know. The purple really weirded me out.
Yeah, I think they were intentionally that color. I don't know. You know, what if? Yeah, what if like that's just the color of the clay, or maybe whatever they sculpted in.
Maybe.
Because like the pteranodon was black or olive-ish kind of when it was the puppet version.
Yes. Yeah. The one he was wrestling.
And the
but that's what I'm saying. The legs,
the Guanji, the close-up head wasn't purple.
Well, the thing is,
you know what else? Those aren't shot at the same time. Those are shot in different places at different times.
Right.
Like they shot all the horse stuff before they animated the Guanji on top of it.
So okay, at the beginning of this movie, it says shot in Dynovision or Dinorama or something
Dynamation.
Like that. Dynamation. So I was thinking, oh, maybe it's purple because you needed some sort of special glasses when you watched it, and they would make them look more like 3D or something. I don't know. I was trying to figure it out because they were so purple. Because what does Dynomation mean?
You put on the glasses, and then it becomes it looks like a dinosaur color.
Like maybe they pop out instead.
Dynamation
of
was the Ray Harryhausen dynamic animation, basically. I think
so. Like Art Clokey, I think owns.
It's why, right? Claymation. It's not Dynomation, like dinosaur. It's dynamic. I think it was a thing that like early on. I think it was like the. It was, I think they even said this might have been the last one that was said it was filmed in Dynamation.
I thought it meant dinosaurs.
No, I think it's with a Y.
Is it? I'll take your word for it. I just assumed because maybe I just, my brain wanted it to be dinosaur, like, because yeah. There was like dinosaur drawings in the credits.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the cage breaks and Guanji gets out. So I'm like super excited.
The cage, you mean, this is the show, right? First of all, the cage system is great. It's very, it's like that kind of steampunk era thing where it's like, it's the way that the curtain stays in place is because of ropes, and the ropes pass through these faces.
Yeah.
Is that whole ornate system set up, and essentially there's like a hot air balloon or something, and that wants to lift the curtain as is. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason the cage was so easy to get out of, though, is because that guy who was friends with the blind lady was unscrewing all the stuff that was holding the cage together.
The little guy?
Yeah, the little guy.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, can we talk about this portion of the show? Let's say you're an audience member. And you hear that they have some sort of monster and they're going to show it at the show. And you're sitting in the audience and the curtain lifts and the monster is eating a dude.
He's got a guy in his mouth. Yeah.
I'm out of there. Immediately. Because either A, it was an accident, or B, this is what they're feeding the monster. And we weren't meant to see it.
Or if this is the show, either way, right.
Right. That was a surprise, and I really enjoyed that. I thought that was fun, because you see the little stop-motion-y guy in there.
Yeah, and now he's like, the guy's like, raise the curtain, and I just, oh, shoot, put the curtain down.
It was too late. The damage was done. But when the dinosaur gets out, they're calling him Guanji. When Guanji gets out, gets some pretty good panic. I like seeing all the people filing out.
Small doorways that a lot of people have to cram through.
Yeah. And then the gypsy woman, do you think she dies? Seems like she gets trampled.
Yeah, she gets spun around. She gets knocked down.
And I don't know if she is supposed to be a bad guy. She's not really. It seems that it's weird that she would get her.
I wouldn't say she's bad. She's in it's curious. It's there's like a lot of like mocking her, and cuz she worships Guanji.
Yeah.
And that Guanji is going to bring a curse upon them and stuff, and so she's in a sense that is why she has the little guy go and release the Guanji. For her,
she seems kind of like a good guy, though. I mean,
she's like the one that basically is trying to tell people to leave it alone,
right?
And no one pays attention because everyone's all caught up in their greed,
right? I feel like she shouldn't be able to have to meet her demise in the movie. I think everybody else who caught this thing deserves it,
but I think she got caught up in the panic and she's blind.
Yeah.
She's got a cloudy eye and an eye patch.
Right.
So, like, she had, like, one eye, and then that eye wasn't even good.
No. The crowd spills out in the streets. That's a lot of fun. That's some good panic. I liked watching the people kind of – there's some people in, like – they had all the people running in the streets, and then they had some, like, people on horse and wagons like running through at the same time too.
It was a lot of fun. The wagon with like the hay in it and stuff.
Yeah, cool.
And then everyone starts piling into the church.
Right. So as soon as Guanji gets to the church, I'm like, okay, here we go. This is going to be some good, like, Harryhausen finale model stuff. Like, you know, yeah, like, he probably worked on this first. Like, this is the shots he, like,
sure,
he, like, did on his own, or like, I don't know.
Well, you know, wait. We've skipped the elephant.
Oh, we did skip the elephant. I forgot. That elephant didn't want to be there to begin with.
No, but also it just kind of lingered.
Right.
He would complain and linger in place a lot. He didn't make a break for it ever.
Right. This scene was all right. I think since we just saw it in 20 million miles to Earth.
Yeah, a monster fighting an elephant.
Yeah. I think I like that one more. And also, this was in color, which kind of was, I think, a little more off-putting as far as the elephant goes. And then the elephant sounded funny.
Yeah, the blood and stuff. Yeah. It was a little harder to, a little rougher.
Yeah. And I feel like the elephant didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
It was all right.
You know a sound effect I did like? When the Guanji would snap, and it made a really hard kind of, his snap had a little rhythmic sound to it. Like when he was biting the ropes, and he would snap them off and stuff. It was kind of a cool added little extra sound effect. It just kind of made his mouth seem that much more dangerous, I guess. I don't know. Okay. So then the church.
I love the sequence. The sequence was great. Like, it was, I think, like, a lot of, I feel like in this sequence, the dinosaur wasn't as purple. And then the integration with the live action was pretty good. I feel like the fire didn't look right.
Yeah.
Because it was obviously, like, shot as a separate element, and it looks like a tiny fire meant to be big.
Right.
But for the most part, I liked all of it. I liked, like, James Francisco.
The exterior fire, the fire on the outside of the church looked great. Obviously, that looked like it was something they lit on fire.
And then the crumbling, the outside crumbling, it looked pretty good, too.
Yeah, there was so much time spent on the Guanji shrieking in fire, though. It was so long. The Guanji burning to death, and like, oh, finally he gets crushed, and I think that might have put him out of his misery.
There's a movie called Yongari, which I believe is a Korean monster movie that we don't have in our list, but they did it on like the most recent season of Mystery Science Theater, and this monster gets shot, like, bloody and shot, and just refuses to die, and it's like a guy in a suit writhing around on the ground in agony, just like bleeding out. And yeah, that definitely reminded me of this, where it's like, okay, the stuff fell on Guanji, he's done, and then he's still yelling, and you're just, oh my god, something. Either get him out of there or knock more building down or something.
It's freaking Will Ferrell.
Mufasa and Mustafa. And
Austin Powers.
Right.
I'm not quite dead.
I'm very badly burned.
I'm very badly burned.
James Franciscus, is that his name?
Yes.
When he goes up the stairs in the church and grabs the spear off of the wall, and stabs it in the neck and stuff. I thought that was cool too.
Yeah.
I like any time sort of the stop motion monster interacts with the live action human.
Yeah. Also like when they stab, cause they stabbed the, I keep wanting to call him the Triceratops. There's a part where they stabbed that on the Styracosaurus. They stabbed him in the fight at one point.
Right.
Like, it's like, oh.
He just like rolled up on him and just stabbed him.
Just gave him a stab.
That guy.
And then after the basically the church is burning down, the pan across all the people
and lady.
Stop on Lopi with tears streaming down his face. Actually, they aren't even streaming down his face. He's got two big lines of tears that are just stuck in one place, just sitting there on his face.
That was good. I like the finale. Pretty much from the time we get to the valley until the end, I was entertained. There's a lot of fun stuff in there. But the first half is just kind of drags.
Yeah.
And the character's relationship isn't really fun enough to like sustain the whole thing. The whole
relationship between the man and the woman too. It's like, all right, so there's history, there's his ex, but you know, it's all's forgiving very quickly, and then right. The other way, and then it just keeps. It's just kind of contrived.
Yeah. I'm all out of
stuff. I got nothing for this to one. Add.
Yeah, yeah. I like the Harryhausen stuff.
Yeah.
It's always fun to watch.
That's basically it. It's fun to watch the monster stuff.
Yeah. This is good for a background of a Halloween party.
I was kind of entertained of the fact that Trandon took off with the donkey.
Oh yeah,
that was the introduction. Was that he stole the mule or whatever it was? that was kind of funny. Speaking of funny, how about the part when the professor guy fell into their trap?
Oh, that was good.
And then it's just the shot of Erwin looking down at him from the thing and just chuckling.
It's good. That was good. All righty.
Yeah, it's not. There's other Harryhausens I would watch before it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the dynamic of cowboys and dinosaurs. The concept of it is so good, you just wanted more.
Yeah, you just you pop it in halfway through and then just to kind of enjoy that. Next episode, we are revisiting Kong. Is this our last Kong movie?
Well, eventually we're going to fight Godzilla again.
Sometime.
This is
King Kong Lives.
Yeah, I mean, there's other weird. Isn't there that like I know every now and then I get reminded. Is that ape movie? Is that a giant ape or is that?
I think it's a giant. The one that flips off the helicopter.
Yeah, the one where he flips the middle finger.
Yeah. And then what was the John Landis one? Schlock. Is that a giant?
Oh, is that a giant ape?
I don't know. But this is like Kong proper.
Yeah.
This is like King Kong. So we're watching King Kong Lives, 1986, sequel to the 1976 Kong. I am definitely looking forward to that.
Every time I keep love going like King Kong Lives. I just like calling that in the idea. Like, what if it's King Kong Lives? Maybe we don't even know yet.
Maybe.
I'm sure King Kong Lives. No, it's King Kong Lives because on the DVD I got on the cover, it says something like, you thought he was dead. You were wrong.
Yeah.
So he
we were wrong, I guess.
Yeah.
You need to fact check our King Kong 76 episode. We should have a link for that. We should have a link for that on our site. It's a little bit tough to find in the United States for sure.
Yeah, I had to buy a Canadian DVD.
Yeah. And I found a crazy link online. So that should be available to you on Kaiju.
Oh, you know what? No. You know, we did find it. We found it in French.
Oh, remember? On Facebook.
I was like,
yeah,
it was like video online in French.
Yeah, that was the one where you're like, oh, there's this one on Facebook. I'm like, I think it's...
You go, is it the French one? And I was like, ah, damn it.
So yeah, look for that on kaijupod.com. You also get our links to our Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Until next time, I'm going to go watch the Gwanji show, but I'm going to like kind of sit towards the back.
I'm going to go wrestle this Pteranodon and see if I can get his neck broken.
I feel like you clearly have it. You have it tackled.
Yeah.
Get some people to get some ropes or something, or a cage.
Can you just hold his mouth closed like when people wrestle alligators? Is it?
Well, he was doing fine keeping it held down without killing it.
Yeah. Just so put tape on his mouth.
Duct tape around. They didn't have that. It's cowboy times.
Yep, rope. Yeah, rope his mouth shut.
Yeah. Like, take that back with you.
Rope his mouth shut. Because that's how they caught the Gwanji. They managed to get rope around his mouth so he couldn't bite them anymore.
Right. All right.
And by the way, it's amazing that little wagon, he couldn't get out of that wagon.
Yeah, it was made of wood, but he can get out of the cage, the steel cage.
So they had to build, they had to chop trees down and make that wagon?
I guess.
Guess the more questions you ask, though.
Yeah, because they didn't have that wagon going there.
They didn't bring that wagon. They didn't bring that wagon through.
No. Yeah. So where did they get those giant wheels?
They had to make all that stuff.
Yeah. All right. I want to go talk about King Kong.
All right.